Welcome to Benefit from the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we come to the topic of myth or the truth, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes to very clearly distinguish between the two, and then help us to push aside every myth that we have ever held onto in our lives, and let us embrace the truth in such a way that it would bless us now and that it would bless us forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have a new brochure today. I'm going to read through it and make some comments as I go, so I would invite you to take it out and follow along. So the question on the front is, where is your confidence for heaven? Is it in a common myth or myths? There are many of them out there. Or is it in God's truth? Today's world is filled with information. We receive it through many modes, including books, newspapers, magazines, radios, phones, TVs, computers, and probably many other means. So the challenge is not obtaining information, but sorting through the information, getting it into the right two categories to put in one pile myth and in the other pile the truth. Let me share with you some myths that are, first of all, secular, and then go into some that are related to Scripture. You must wait 24 hours before filing a missing persons report. We've heard that. I've heard that. That is a myth. The truth is that the police will receive it even sooner. So if your loved one is missing, don't wait. Call the police. File the report. Let them get on it right away. The next one, a very common teaching, and actually it's probably taught to our young people in our public schools, but the myth would be that people evolved from chimpanzees. So some people have developed this so carefully that they want to say that there is a true distinction between people of different skin colors, even though I believe there is one race, and that is a human race. But people have developed this so far to say that the black people came from the gorillas, the Asian people came from the orangutans, and the Caucasian people, they came from the chimpanzees. So that's what was taught in the schools. Maybe you learned that even as you were growing up. Well, this stuff is ridiculous. God wants us to know the truth. On day six of creation, that is when God created all those different kinds of monkeys, and that's also the same day that he created the human beings. So we're all God's creation, but we are very distinct. Those ones I mentioned are animals. They never cross over to become human beings, and yet the human beings were created separate. How about the next one? Jesus was born on December 25th. That is a myth. Even though many people hold to that, we're almost positive he was not born on December 25th. How did that day come about? Well, there was a celebration on December 25th prior to celebrating the birth of Christ. And what was being celebrated? Think about when you come to the first day of winter, which is generally December 21st, I believe. And that is the day when we have the least amount of daylight. So by the time they got to December 25th, they were so sensitive to daylight, they so much needed daylight, that what happened is they noticed, oh, the daylight is growing longer and longer, so let's have a big celebration on December 25th and celebrate the fact that we have another minute or two of daylight. So the Christian church said, they're celebrating daylight. Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world. He is the true light who came down from God to take away the sin of the world. So they basically stole that pagan day of December 25th, and they said, let's celebrate the true light of the world coming into the world. Let's make that Christmas. If you want to get closer to what I think is the actual birth of Christ, take a look at the brochure. I think there are still some in our rack, and that would be our series from last year during Advent and Christmas that is called God with Us. If there aren't any out there, you can pick it up on the church website, but that's going very carefully into what the Bible is saying. We don't have a date, but I think that that information is pretty accurate based on some various key historical events. Sometimes the truth is interesting, but sometimes the truth makes the difference between eternal life and eternal condemnation. God wants us to know the truth is important. Jesus prayed to the Father, "Your word is truth." So this is God's word, this is truth. And then Jesus said to people who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, that means if you continue in my word, if you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So it's not freedom by hanging on to myths. Now, we might think we're free, but unless we're really hanging on to God's truth, and really, what is God's truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So how do we know about Jesus? We know about Jesus through the Bible, which is God's truth. So the Bible truth tells us about the Son of God truth who took away our sins. So why should we trust the Bible, though? We live in a world today where many people want to say, well, that's just another book. There's all kinds of errors. They want to tell you about the telephone game and all kinds of different things. Well, God wants us to know this book is reliable. Come to our Tuesday night Bible class and you'll find out a little bit more where we got the Bible from and how we can and should be relying upon the Bible. What I'm sharing here in the brochure is a sermon series I did, I think it was back in 2012, but if you don't remember it, or if you weren't here for it, you could go back and check it out. So if you go on our church website, you can find it under the series called Abide in Me. And if you look at the first five sermons, you'll find that the first one deals with prophecy in general, how God declared in his word over 2,000 things that would happen, and yet exactly as God said, they happened. People don't know what's going to happen. Who knows if the Browns are going to win today or not? But for God to say over 2,000 times, this thing will happen. And of course, keep in mind with prophecy, most of the time, it is something that you would never, ever, ever expect to happen, and yet God says that it will, and it did. This is proving this book is from God, or with our Lord Jesus Christ. You might remember with the prophecy about him, how we talked about what are the odds of being able to predict 8 things about one person before he is born. And mathematically, it works out that the odds of that happening are 1 to 100 quadrillion. It's almost impossible to predict 8 things. What happened in the life of Jesus? Over 330 were predicted and happened. And somebody said, if you want to write the odds on that, you write a 1 to 1. And then this one is followed by 150 zeros. Those are the odds of Jesus fulfilling the 300 plus prophecies in here. And yet, that is pointing to just overwhelming certainty that this book is from God and that he is the one that God promised to take away our sins. Also, too, in there, there's one about science. Science today, you just have to be so careful. Most scientists are atheists. Most scientists say there is no God. So what are they doing? They're trying to manipulate all the information to be able to show how we do exist and how the world works apart from the Almighty God who made it. So everything is tainted that they're doing. They're telling us things, trying to say, this is science, this is true, and yet it simply is not. The ones who are doing honest science, and there are some out there, thank God, it's an amazing thing that honest science agrees with God's holy word. God wants us to know, again, his word is true. You can see the information I have there with the four Gospels. In a courtroom situation, if people come with identical testimony, we would conclude that's a fabrication. They memorized what they were going to say. It's all made up. But if people come with very similar stories about the same account, we would say that is the most reliable testimony that is true. That's exactly what we have in the Gospels. We have four Gospels, and I think there are, I believe it is 17 different accounts that are covered in all four Gospels, and they're all telling basically the same thing, but in different words. That is very reliable testimony. We have that right here in the Bible, and then with the Bible itself. It is saying all these fantastic things God is declaring to be true about his word. I invite you to go back to that series if you haven't read it for a while. If you don't have internet access, let us know and we can make you a copy of the series, a printed copy of it. Let's go into the main part of the sermon today. We come to the section called Myth or Truth. The question is, are you certain about your eternity? Now, as we go through this, you might say, hey, Pastor, I know all that stuff already, and I hope that that's true for you. But I'm hoping at the same time that this brochure will become a valuable brochure for any of us to be able to share with a loved one who is either hanging onto a myth or for some reason is not certain like God wants us to be. Sometimes things can look or feel or seem so right. So true. Just like I said earlier, it seemed so true that when Jesus breathed his last, he lost, his life was over, he was the loser, that was it. But yet, things can seem and feel so much that way, and yet they're not. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Since we cannot trust our feelings, feelings are powerful, feelings can be very deceptive. Since we cannot trust our feelings, how can we distinguish between a myth and the truth? Well, regarding eternity, God has told us the truth that we need in his holy word. As we go through this section coming up now, I want you to notice how each part really has two opposites. We have a myth and we have the truth. And any time we're holding on to any kind of a myth at all, may God help us to drop it like a hot potato, and may God enable us by his grace, by his power, to hang on to his truth, knowing it is true, knowing it is good for this life, knowing that it will bless us forever and ever. Let's take a look here. Number one, myth, I am good enough to go to heaven. Have you ever felt that way? Here you are. You are church-going people. You seem like very kind people to me. You seem pretty darn good to me. So have you concluded, I am good enough to go to heaven? Well, some of us have concluded that, but notice the truth. The Bible says, none is righteous, no, not one. Understand, we have to be righteous to go to heaven. But the Bible says there is not one righteous, no, not one. So of ourselves, because of who we are, because of what we say and do, none of us can ever make ourselves righteous. Number two, myth. Since I haven't done anything real bad, God will let me into heaven. Have you ever had that conversation with people where they say, well, I haven't murdered anybody, so they think because they haven't murdered anybody, that means they're going to go to heaven. The Bible says in James 2:10, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one, he has become guilty of all. So if we have 100 quadrillion sins, that will keep us out of heaven. If we have a half a sin, that will keep us out of heaven. God wants us to know the standard is righteousness, holiness, perfection. So even a half a sin, that will keep us out. So a half a sin makes us less than righteous. God wants us to understand that truth. Number three, the myth. Since God is a loving God, no one will be eternally condemned. Haven't you heard that kind of talk before? Oh, the Bible even says God is love. So certainly he would never send anyone to a horrible eternity. But yet, what is the truth? The Bible says in John 3:18, whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. That's good news. But it goes on to say, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. So we don't even have to wait to the end of life. We don't even have to wait till eternity. Is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So everyone in the world who is alive right now stands either right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, or stands condemned in the sight of God because they have rejected Jesus Christ. And now people who are continuing to live, that can change. But the way that people die, if they die in Christ, they are blessed forever. If they die without Christ, they are condemned forever. But understand, though, God is the one who saves. We as people, we condemn ourselves. People really can't look to God and say, God, you condemn me. Right here is our condemnation. Those who reject Jesus Christ, they condemn themselves. A very sad thing. But people, God wants people to know that so that they let go of the myth, whatever it might be. There are all kinds of them out there. God wants people to let go of the myth, and by the truth of his word, God wants to work through that word so that he can enable them to embrace Jesus Christ, the one Savior of the world. Number four, since others think well of me, I will be welcomed into heaven. So I have a good reputation. Other people think I'm a good guy, so certainly God must think I'm a good guy. Well, the truth is, what God knows is what counts, not what our family or friends might think about us. Jesus said some strong words here in Revelation chapter 3, in one of the seven letters to the seven churches. He began by saying, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. So sometimes outwardly we can make it look like we're pretty good godly people, but God knows what's going on the inside. God knows the truth all the way deep inside that other people don't know. And sometimes deception can be such a strong thing that even we ourselves can be deceived and not even know it. Number five, the myth. I have done more good than bad, so I'm in good shape with God. So think about it. Oh yeah, I admit I've done a million bad things in my life, but the good news is I have done 1,000,001 good things. I'm okay because I have enough good stuff to outweigh the bad stuff. I'm okay now. Do some people look at it that way? Is that how it works? Is that what the truth of God's word says? The truth is that no amount of good can meet God's requirement. Jesus said, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So simply having more good than bad, that doesn't make us perfect. What is perfection? That is having all good and zero bad. That's what we need. The only way to have that is in Jesus Christ. Only Jesus lived a perfectly good life So we need his life put on our account in order to have the credit we need to be able to be with God forever. That's the only way. Number six, since I go to church, I will also go to heaven. Some people might look at it this way a little bit different and say, look how much God is blessing me now. Look at all the stuff I have. So certainly if he's given me all of that now, certainly he's going to bless me forever and ever. They kind of transfer that over and say, if this, then this. It makes sense. It's logical. But consider what happens here in Matthew 22. And this is a picture of the great wedding feast that we're going to be part of when Jesus comes. The truth is that going to church doesn't make it. The truth is we must be clothed in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. In other words, he was not clothed in Jesus Christ. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. What's interesting, we find that any time this kind of a gathering, this feast-type gathering, would be offered by someone in a community, someone of means, of wealth, able to do this, that a requirement of the one hosting the meal is that you had to offer the proper clothing to the people who were coming to the meal. So the invitation goes out. So imagine the people coming into the door of the castle, and each one is being offered the proper clothing. And yet for this particular man, for some reason, he rejected that clothing. The clothing is Jesus Christ. See, even today, God is offering to everyone in the entire world, God is offering them the clothing of Jesus Christ. Those who receive that clothing, they are set. They are blessed now and forever. But for those who say, for some reason, I don't need that clothing, they're going to find out that in fact they did. And if they wait until they die, they're going to find out too late. And there will be no opportunity then to receive that clothing. Like the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Going to the back here, we come to number seven, the myth, I have sinned so much that God will never let me into heaven. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? It's like, wow, I messed up so bad. Dear God, how could you ever forgive me? I'm such a rotten person. Have you ever felt that way? Consider this longer section here in 1 Corinthians 6. It might sound like I'm going in the wrong direction, but you'll see at the end how I'm not. The Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So when we talk about the unrighteous, those are people who are unrepentant, so they are not sorry for their sins, and they're not looking to Christ as Savior. So do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, you could stop me right there and say, hey, Pastor, I thought we could do really bad stuff and still go to heaven. You just read a whole list and said, and the Bible says those people, because they did such bad stuff, they can't go to heaven. Kind of sounds that way, doesn't it? But notice the good news that we come to now in verse 11. Paul writes here to these Christians living in Corinth, and he writes to them, and such were some of you. So Paul is saying to those Christians in Corinth, some of you were fornicators. Some of you were idolaters. Some of you were adulterers. And you can go right through the whole list. So he's saying, some of you were that way. But what happened? What did God do? God stepped in and made a huge difference. I like the way they do it here in the New American Standard. We have the word but three times. That is right in the Greek. They leave that out in most translations. But the word but is a really powerful word. If I said to Kathy, I love you, but, would that be a good thing? When I say the word but, that is kind of canceling out the whole I love you thing. When God has a whole list of really bad stuff, and then he has the word but three times, that is canceling out all the bad stuff they did, and that is making those people brand new in Jesus Christ. Notice how it reads. And such were some of you, but you were washed. Keep in mind here, God is always the actor. We're not taking the action, God is. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So these are people who are living in vile sin, and yet what happened? God got a hold of them by the Spirit through the Word. God showed them it was wrong. God made them sorry. God gave them the gift of faith to trust in Jesus. God washed them completely clean. God wrapped them with Jesus Christ. And even though they were living in very sinful ways, God made them new in Christ. Now they are righteous in God's sight. Now they're ready for heaven. God wants us to know that no matter how big our sins are, the work of Jesus is even bigger. So through him, forgiveness is available for everyone. Notice here in 1 John chapter 1, at the end of the number 7 section, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't say, okay, I'll wipe out these sins, but these other ones over here are so big, I'm not going to forgive you for those. But rather, God is so good, God says, be sorry for them, confess them. Look to my son, Jesus Christ, and I will cleanse you from all of them. God wants us to know that is true. So if we have gone through that process, and if we still feel like we're dirty, we still feel like we're not forgiven, what should we trust? Should we trust what God has said, that he will cleanse us, or should we trust our feelings? See, that's a situation where God is saying, do not trust your feelings. They are unreliable. Your feelings are deceiving you. When God says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to know that is true. Number 8, myth. No one can ever know for sure about his or her entrance into heaven. Well, the truth is, in 1 John chapter 5, it says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So he gave it to us. It's a gift. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then notice in verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. So what about each of you here today? Do you have your confidence in the name of the Son of God for your entrance into heaven? If you can say yes to that, that means that you should know that you have eternal life. The Bible is so clear, when we have the Son, we have eternal life. It's not a complicated thing. One final one on the topic of knowing what is best to do in our lives as Christians. The myth would be, whenever I have to make a decision, I should do what I think is best. Oftentimes, that's how we go through life, but we come to a familiar passage here in Proverbs 3. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So we have a feeling like we know what is best, and we're tempted to go with that feeling because it just feels so right. And yet God is saying, forget about what you think is right. Go with what my word says to be right. So God is challenging us to honor him in our lives by seeking and following his will for our daily lives. I have a section here at the end. I say, some are far away from the truth. I don't think this applies to any of us, But as we pass this on to some people, maybe they need to read this section. But it says, some believe there is no God, so they believe in the Big Bang and evolution. They also reject the reality of an eternity and any need for a Savior. So I'm thinking about those who might be reading this in the future. I say, if that is your situation, I kindly urge you to think about this brochure. Evaluate your source of truth. Is it really reliable? Realize that absolute truth comes from God and repent. That means to acknowledge God's truth, the Bible. Be sorry wherever you are living in opposition to God's word and receive Jesus Christ as the one in whom you are trusting for eternal life. What is the good news? Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And then Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if we don't think that we're sinners, we should say, hey, forget about the Bible, forget about the Lord's Supper, forget about all that kind of stuff. I don't need that. I'm doing fine. But for us who know we are sinners, God is saying to come and receive his great blessings and know that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. God wants us to know that we've messed up in countless ways. It happens day by day in our lives. So God is saying, I love you. Gather in my presence. Let me assure you that because of the work of my Son, your sins are forgiven. So what is the remedy? In Acts chapter 3, it says, repent. In other words, be sorry for your sins and turn again to Jesus as your Savior, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. God wants to give that wonderful blessing to every man, woman, and child of all time. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that by your word we can know what is myth and what is truth. And now, knowing so much about it, help us to truly push away every myth, to truly embrace your truth, and enable us to benefit from it now and forever. May you also fill us with your Holy Spirit, grant us boldness that we would take a copy of this brochure and share it with someone who needs to know your truth, who needs to know the reality of sin and how much you have loved them in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.